Report on AM 580 with Todd Gleason filling in for Dave Dickey this morning, and on FM 90.9, Vic DiGeronimo is standing by with the classic morning prelude. There is a flash flood watch in effect until 10 p.m. for Champaign, Coles, DeWitt, Douglas, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area. Showers and isolated thunderstorms today with a high of 74 degrees. Have a great Friday, everybody.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Friday morning with a look at what's happening in the world of agriculture. Overnight, the national average basis for corn a penny weaker. That at 20 cents under the July contract, the DTN National Corn Index up 9 cents, $3.56, the national cash price for corn. The average basis for soybean unchanged at 39 under the July. The DTN National Soybean Index up 18 cents, $9.61, the average national cash price per corn. Let's take a look at the weather forecast because it's really important, and we'll hear that in a moment from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Additional rain and thunderstorms will be occurring across the Midwest frequently as we move forward through this next seven-day period, and the risk of flooding and some other negative influences on crop development will continue as we get through into the holiday weekend of July 4th. The forecast is still promoting a lot of rain here today and into tomorrow morning. The precipitation will be focused on areas from Iowa and Missouri straight eastward into Ohio and some immediate neighboring areas. The system will likely generate a little bit of a closed-off low-pressure system eventually that will help to enhance the rainfall tomorrow as the system exits out of the eastern Midwest. That little low-pressure center will help to intensify some of the rainfall, however, and that might create some, again, locally heavy rainfall that would result in some possible flash flooding. River and stream flows are already way above average with many rivers in flood at this point in stage, and we are expecting this to change very little. If anything, it's going to get a little worse with a greater amount of runoff that will occur from this weekend's rainfall. This isn't the only rain event that's going to take place, though. There are two or three others that are stacked up to move across the same area as we move forward through the balance of this next 10-day period. The rainfall today and tomorrow will likely run 1 to 3 inches in quite a few areas, with some locally greater amounts, over 4 inches possible in a couple of locations. In fact, we saw some of that occur last night as storms came out of portions of the western Corn Belt and worked their way into the lower Midwest here this morning. Well, the next wave of precipitation to impact the region is expected to occur Monday into Tuesday, and during that time period we'll once again have a good chance for rain and thunderstorms. This time, though, it'll be a little bit more widespread in the Midwest, and we'll expect the precipitation to be a lot lighter than that which will occur here today and tomorrow. The precipitation will be focused coming down on the upper parts of the Mississippi River Valley and from there eastward into Ohio and portions of Kentucky and Michigan, and that occurs again Monday and Tuesday. And then following that immediately will be on Wednesday and Thursday of next week, yet another opportunity for rain and thunderstorms moving across the region. The precipitation will take a little more of a southerly track this time, and therefore the lower parts of the Midwest will be most vulnerable to some of the greatest amounts of rain. The last little disturbance, we hope, it will be the last event, at least in this series. It will come across the Central Plains and into the Ohio River Basin, and that will take place as we move from July 3rd through July 5th. That system will be completely dependent on how much cold air is going to be surging southward behind that system as we go into that following couple of days. The cold air will dictate how intense the thunderstorms will be and therefore how much rain will actually fall. It will also determine where the frontal system will become stationary. And right now it looks like it will probably be in the southern plains somewhere and maybe south of the Ohio River as well. And for that reason, I think that the week of July 6th will probably end up being a little less wet across the Midwest, and we'll certainly hope for the best. At least a lot of farmers are going to hope for that just simply because of all the problems that are coming out of this excessive wet pattern. A lot of the region is experiencing some standing water. There's a potential for some of the younger crops to suffocate in this environment. There's a problem with nitrogen deficiency taking place. There's also some concern for those unplanted acreage that will not get planted at this point. So the bottom line is it's definitely too wet across the region. Our temperatures will help out a little bit. We'll see the temperatures staying relatively seasonable, but a little bit on the cooler side of normal, though. Highs will be in the 70s and some lower 80s as we go forward through the next few days. We'll see those temperatures warm up as we get into the early part of next week, but only temporarily. We'll see more cool weather later in the week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for the Agricultural Weather Report on WILL comes from Busey. Busey's online and mobile banking allow you to stay connected to your finances and manage your accounts anytime, anywhere, using your mobile device. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Checking now the numbers on this Friday morning, the 26th day of June, as they opened not too long ago. Futures in the corn pit up 8.25 cents at this hour. In the July contract, $3.84¾. December at $4.03, 9.5 higher. And next year's July at $4.24½, up 8¾. July soybeans are up 14 cents at $10.14¼. November at $9.91½, up 13¾ with the new crop. And January at $9.96¼, 13¼ higher. July beans up 4.5 at $9.86½. Bean meal up 6.80. Bean oil 6 cents higher. Wheat futures in the July contract at $5.56¾ for the soft red, a gain of 24.5 cents. The hard red up 21.5 in the July at $5.56½. Live cattle futures are 90 cents higher. August feeders at 50 lower, $2.18.55 the trade there. And lean hogs up 30 cents at $74.95. To take a look at these numbers, maybe what might come up next week on Tuesday with the grain stocks and the acreage report and all the wet weather is Bill Mayer. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Bill. Well, Bill should be with us. He's usually pretty reliable. We'll catch him in just a second and see whether we can find Bill and figure out what has happened with him at this point this morning. In the mean space, let's take a look at the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a high of 74 degrees. Showers tonight, too. Those will all come before 10 p.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 60, and then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 77, Saturday night, clear and 56, Sunday, sunny sky, 78 degrees, should be a nice day on Sunday, Sunday night, 50% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and a low of 63, Monday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy and 78, and Monday night, it'll be cloudy and 62 degrees. Earlier in this week, I took a little run around the eastern part of central Illinois, going north out of Mahomet all the way up through Gibson City and then around through Gilman. And I must tell you, as I took a look at what was happening in those areas, once you got north of Gibson City and south, I didn't go north of 24. That would be the Watsika run. That's truly wet. There's some really awful conditions there. And if you talk about what's been happening across the Midwest, there are some really good areas for corn, especially that part of Iowa that's north of Des Moines, on into Minnesota. Remember, those guys in Minnesota were 3 weeks ahead in their corn. On the other hand, the soybeans not looking so great in the southwestern corner of Iowa, that corner of Missouri, still not planted. The farm doc folks are really up to speed on that. As of earlier this week, they calculated about 23% of the soybean crop, of the intended soybean crop, would have been in trouble in some form. In this way, they suggested that either it wasn't planted, that it was planted and not emerged, or very poor or poor condition if it was up. And if you segregate those three categories out and they don't overlap, that's a large part of the soybean crop, one of the reasons probably that soybeans have certainly rallied the last few days. The corn crop as well. Let's see if Bill Mayer has caught up with us yet there at Strategic Farm Marketing. I know when I called them, they were really busy this morning. Good morning to you, Bill. Are you with me this morning? Bill apparently not with us this morning, so we're not going to worry about him. Let me check one more thing. Bill, are you with me? That's all right. Bill doesn't seem to be with us. No worries. We're fine. We will catch up with Mike Zuzulo, by the way, in the next hour. Mike was one of our guests on Commodity Week, which I recorded yesterday afternoon. And if you want to hear a really good audio tour of the entirety of the Midwest. We've got Mike in Atchison, Kansas. Pete Manhart was with us for that show, as well as Wayne Nelson. And we go through all of those sorts of things. Take a look at that grain stocks report, what it might say next week. The numbers for soybeans, interesting. What might be left in the bin at this time. And then, of course, the acreage report. Everybody wondering what's going to happen with that. One note, if USDA decides they need to resurvey for the soybean number, they'll probably let us know in the grain stocks report. It's due out at 11 o'clock. That on Tuesday morning. Check our website. All the numbers will be there. Dave will be here as well to be on the air, I think, at about 12:25 that day with some review of those numbers. So a big, important day. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It will be 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. I'll be back in just 1 hour. We'll talk with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas.
Good morning. In Charleston, they are starting to bury the dead. The funeral for the pastor gunned down in his own church is held today. The president will deliver his eulogy. We'll have more in this hour of Morning Edition from NPR News. The families of the victims in Charleston have been praised for offering forgiveness to the alleged gunman. One writer tells us why she believes the murders are beyond forgiveness. I'm David Green. This hour we're learning more about a terrorist attack at a beach resort in Tunisia. The attack follows one at a museum in Tunis earlier this year. And in California, lawmakers passed tough rules requiring kids to be vaccinated. Actor Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation wants all the bacon and eggs you have. Give it to him. It's his birthday. He turns 45 on this Friday, June 26th. And the news is coming up next.